He was grieved at their hardness of heart. I found it very helpful as I read the scriptures. You know, when I grew up, the Pharisees were always the bad guys, and Jesus was the good guy, and you wanted to be on Jesus' team, not the Pharisees' team. And I have since repented of my ways. Because actually, the Pharisees were a renewal movement within Judaism. And it was an attempt to get back to the heart and the spirit of why we do these religious practices that we do. And in many ways, Jesus had similarities with the Pharisees, which is why often there's tension, right? Often when you're like brothers or cousins or something and you're really close in some way, there's tension because you're trying to differentiate yourselves from each other. And in this particular regard, the Pharisees, I mean, in their attempt to preserve the goodness of the Sabbath, because there is something good about the Sabbath, right? And do we hear that there is something good about the Sabbath anymore? Do we care about the Sabbath? I mean, which is a question. And so in their attempt to preserve the goodness of the Sabbath, they want to make sure that the disciples aren't working. Because it's actually really important that you don't work on the Sabbath, that you be given the freedom to rest on the Sabbath. And so they were trying to preserve that goodness and make sure that the disciples weren't working or that Jesus wasn't working. He's a healer. Like, if you're a healer, what's your job? It's to heal. And so if you heal on the Sabbath, are you working on the Sabbath, right? And it's actually really important that we have space in our lives where we don't work, that we're not working 24/7. And so the Pharisees are trying to preserve that space. And Jesus bumps up against them because he agrees that it's important not to work on the Sabbath. The Pharisees and Jesus disagree on that part. And very often we hear Jesus say, well, the Sabbath was made for humankind and humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. And we think, oh, good, Jesus came to free us from the Sabbath and other regulations of the Torah. And that is a profound misunderstanding of who Jesus was and what Jesus was all about. Because Jesus was a Jewish rabbi. And he was really interested in the heart of that of what was going on in that faith. Right? And so here Jesus, he's saying, hey, yeah, let's make sure that we're not working on the Sabbath. That's important. But it's important that we also understand the deeper longing of God for God's people is that they have life and that they have life abundantly. And so that's part of what he's saying is like okay, yeah, the disciples are going through this wheat field, like this grain of wheat, enjoying the bounty and goodness of God's creation. Like, isn't it amazing that we plant these seeds and they grow? And that it provides sustenance for us and food for us. And gosh, they're breaking off the heads and eating the grains and enjoying the goodness of God's creation as they're going along. And isn't that true? What we should be doing on the Sabbath actually is enjoying the goodness of God's creation, understanding how we are fed by the earth. You know, in the beginning, when God began creating, he began creating the heavens and the earth, and he said, let there be, and it was good. And the refrain of Genesis is, let there be, and it was good. He began creating all these things, and it was good. It was good. It was good. And so for 6 days, God creates, and it is good. And on the seventh day, God rests. It's not because God is tired and exhausted. God rests because it's good. And it gives God a chance to reflect back and turn and enjoy the goodness of what's just happened, right? It's the culmination of things. So there's two places where the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, there's two places where the Ten Commandments are given. One is in Exodus 20. And in Exodus 20, that's what Moses writes, is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, because on the sixth, God worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, God rested. And so one strand within Jewish thought around the Sabbath is that it is a day of rest, but it's a day to then enjoy the goodness of the world that we find ourselves in, the goodness of the communities that we have, the goodness of our families and friends, right? And rest and enjoy that. There's another place in Deuteronomy where there's another list of the Ten Commandments. And this time, when it says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, God says, and that's what we read in our Old Testament text, God says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and out of slavery I have taken you and set you free. So don't work. Have one day to remember your freedom. And on that day, when you remember your freedom and how you are no longer bound by your slavery, let your kids have a day off. And let your servants and slaves have a day off. You once were enslaved and now you are free. Let those who serve you also taste freedom. And your animals too. Like, it's a profound inbreaking of the goodness of God into our daily lives, where God is saying, remember, it is for freedom that I have created you, to enjoy the goodness of creation. And so this strand that comes out of Deuteronomy, it's not that we rest because of the work, we rest to enjoy the freedom that we have. We've lost sight of what Sabbath means. We've lost sight of what the Sabbath is, right? We do think that somehow, at least in our practice, that somehow God has set us free from that particular commandment. Like, we think it's still a good idea not to kill. We still think it's a good idea not to steal or to commit adultery or to covet your neighbor's stuff. But we're into honor your father and mother so that it may be well with you. But the Sabbath day feels kind of optional and movable in some regard, right? Why is that? Because the Sabbath is, I think because of that, we've lost sight of, I don't think we really understand Sabbath anymore. I was trying to think, where is the closest thing within our own experience? Where do we have an experience of Sabbath? And the closest thing I think we have is Thanksgiving Day. And I didn't realize this until I came from Canada, right? In Canada, there's a difference between American Thanksgiving and Canadian Thanksgiving. And Canadian Thanksgiving happens in the first weekend of October, and I think it's a Monday, so they get a three-day weekend. And so Canadians will gather, and they will have a meal like we have our meal, and it's the same kinds of foods except more British. And they will all share a meal on Saturday or Sunday or Monday. Like, throughout that weekend, they choose a day, and they share on one of those days a meal. And because it's spread out over the weekend, things don't close. Their economy doesn't shut down. So it's actually, you go up for Canadian Thanksgiving, and it feels like life as normal, right? There's no economic, stop of the economic system. But American Thanksgiving is different. It's one of the few days where everything really does, for the most part, shut down. And it's one of the few days where we all really are gathered doing the same thing. And what are we doing? We're sharing a meal. And we're enjoying family and friends. And it's not always peaceful. And yes, there's a crazy uncle, and you got to do that. But, for the most part, it's this amazing thing that we do, where we all gather and have this moment where we're all engaged in a period of rest and a period of Thanksgiving, which is Sabbath. That's the one day of the year that we as a society do anything that's like the historic Jewish Sabbath. Largely, don't get me wrong, Jews are practicing Sabbath on a weekly basis. Seventh-day Adventists are practicing Sabbath on a weekly basis. There are Americans who do this, but by and large, culturally, we don't. Why is that? Can you imagine what it'd be like once a week to have everything shut down and to be free? Like, to be free for that 24-hour period to do the things that your heart longs to do. To be free to enjoy the goodness of creation and go out in nature. Right? To be free and know that everybody else's calendar is going to sync up with yours because everybody else is taking Sabbath too. So you don't have to spend time coordinating with your families because your families are all going to be free on that day. Your friends are all going to be free on that day. Like, can you imagine? That's what Sabbath was. And that was the intention, that there be this inbreaking of this moment where the goodness of your lives can be mutually shared and enjoyed. It's a communal experience. We don't know how to do that anymore, which is unfortunate, because we need it. And in some sense, it becomes a social justice issue, because, you know, well, those of us who are privileged enough to have a full-time position, where which now is, you know, 5 days a week, 40 hours a week, or we have shifts where we get 4 days on and 3 days off or whatever. Many of us now, the Sabbath has expanded not just 1 day, but 2 days or even 3 days, and that's a huge gift. But there are individuals who are struggling to make a living wage, right? And they have to string together a series of part-time shifts because nobody wants to pay them benefits. And the cost of benefits, which includes time off, paid time off. And so they're struggling to put together, you know, two or three different part-time jobs, which means they never get a day off. Which means on our days off, when we go out to eat, or on our days off, when we go out to buy some stuff, the person who may be serving us actually doesn't get to enjoy Sabbath while we do. That should be something that concerns us as people of God. That should be something that concerns us as Christians, that, hey, Deuteronomy very clearly says, hey, remember you were once slaves in Egypt, and it is for freedom that I have set you free. So let your servants and your slaves, let those who work for you have Sabbath as well. Why aren't we concerned that others get Sabbath? Because we don't treat ourselves to Sabbath fully. So, I mean, it's a social justice issue in that regard, but it's also a health issue for ourselves, right? Just to have that, like what Kim was saying, that time of rest and relaxation, that time to actually enjoy the goodness of community and family and relationship, and to receive the blessing that God has for us. And that's the conviction. That's the conviction at the heart of Judaism and the heart of the Jewish faith, is that actually God's desire is to bless us. And God gives us these laws as a way of helping guide us so that we can live into the goodness of our lives more fully and richly. Curious where this is taking you, what's going on in your mind. I'd like to hear from some of you in terms of what does this make you think? Nancy, yes. Yep, so you remember back in a kid when everything was closed on Sunday. We used to do that. We used to have laws that prohibited commerce on Sundays, and things got to shut down, and people who worked in those institutions got to have a break like the rest of us. Yes. Yes, back there. Yeah, so you were in Western Ireland on a vacation. Nobody was out. They were all resting or indoors eating or doing out in nature, or, you know, doing. Right, it feels profoundly different when you experience it from our current context. Yes. And what felt hard about it? What feels like work about it?
That they don't drive, that they walk everywhere, they don't use, they just are, I guess, present to each other.
Yep. Really. They're present to each other. Yeah, and that seems like work. I mean, it's counter, like, unless you're in that rhythm. I know I've had, there was a season in my life where I had some friends who were Seventh-day Adventist. It's a segment of the Christian community that still tries to honor the Jewish laws, and so they keep Sabbath, and they actually keep Sabbath from Friday through Saturday, from Friday sunset through Saturday sunset, and they actually do church on Saturdays. And it's a conservative, it can be a conservative, quirky church, and these folks were pretty progressive. And I asked them, well, why do you stay? Why do you stay in this church? And they said, because of the Sabbath. It's hard to do Sabbath by yourself. You need community to do Sabbath, right? It is work if you're trying to do it by yourself. But if you, if everybody you're doing it is doing it together, that's good. Yes, Erica. Great question. So if your work is a stay-at-home mom, well, I think that's it. It's the coming together of community, and that maybe in the coming together of community, some of the burden placed upon you is lifted so that they can help look after your kids, right? So that maybe they can help prepare food, whatever, or serve the food. Or actually, this is the gift of not having to cook. You make sure that everything's cooked ahead of time. Yes, Liz. Yep. Right. They get triple time, but, you know, it's unfortunate that they have a job where the other days of the year they're not getting triple time, right? Carol.
As a woman of the generation where one is expected to be employed and then also to do most of the housework and child rearing.
Yes.
I am needing to be healthy and knowing I needed rest. I implemented flexible Sabbath in my life, which included taking the jumping horses classes on Tuesday mornings.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a couple of things there. One, just the challenge of women who both do full-time work and then are also bearing much of the labor at home. And are we mindful of their need for Sabbath, right? Which is definitely a need, right? But then also in our current context, sometimes you have to carve it out. It's going to look different. You have to carve it out for yourself. You have to be creative. You have to be innovative to create Sabbath for yourself. And that is just the nature of the way things are, because our culture, our society isn't structured such that we can do it communally. We've lost that in some ways, right? Who did I see? Dusty, yes.
When I was growing up, my family lived three blocks from the church. It was a very small church. But what we would do would get up, get ready to go and walk together down the street. And then decades and decades later, I lived in Seattle, where my church, a Lutheran church, was very near an Orthodox church. And when we would hold practices and do things on Saturday, we would see everybody dressed up and walking in groups, their family groups, to church. So that's one thing that's kind of burned in my...
Yeah, I mean, it's not that long ago that we still did have more of a collective sense of Sabbath. That is continuing to erode and diminish, and that should concern us, quite honestly. Yeah, Phil. I take Fridays and Saturdays off. And this congregation should know that often we have like a three-day weekend, like Memorial Day weekend, right? Everybody in the culture gets a three-day weekend. I don't, because my Sunday is right in the middle of it. So in my contract, I can have a movable weekend. So if there's like, and I did. So I worked Memorial Day weekend and I worked Memorial Day, but I took Wednesday through Saturday off so that I could get a three-day weekend too. And this congregation has allowed me to do that in its desire that I too find Sabbath. Yeah, so I'm grateful for that. All right, we're not gonna resolve this. It is the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And what that means, I mean, Jesus, our rabbi, didn't come to save us from the Sabbath. Actually, he came to restore the goodness of God in our lives, right? So remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Amen.